what an incredible birthday our nation has had over this past week. We have had such a great week, as in so many ways we have seen America celebrate its birthday, whether it's by our military and the demonstrations we saw yesterday, the folks who have gathered around this past week. It all began with our incredible worship celebration we had, as our choir and the color guard and our spiritual tour of Washington kind of got the week started. And then throughout the week, up until yesterday, we enjoyed a 4th of July and celebrating the birthday of America. Cities and towns around the nation had parades and celebrations. Families and friends joined together in thanking God for the greatest nation in the world. And then there were fireworks. Wherever you turn, fireworks. Some people took advantage of large fireworks shows. Others had their own fireworks at home. You might have joined me. I watched the fireworks on my television from Washington and New York and Mount Rushmore. What an incredible show of power. Since 1777, fireworks have been an official part of the celebration of the 4th of July in America. Isn't that an amazing thing? To think that as we watch the lights and experience the sound and the power, we are reminded that we are a blessed nation and always have been. Not only are fireworks part of our national identity, the Bible tells us fireworks are part of our spiritual identity as well. Long ago, Paul declared the passage we read together this morning, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God." Power. The Greek word for power is the word dunamis. It is the same root term from which we get the word dynamite. It means the power of God on display in such a way that nobody can mistake the fact that the gospel is the power of God. He says the gospel is God's greatest display. It exploded upon the world through the birth and death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Its impact turned the world upside down. And the good news spread far beyond the boundaries of Jerusalem and on to Judea and then to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And wherever the gospel went, lives have been changed. And they continue to be changed yet today, and will continue to be changed until God decides it is time for history to come to its conclusion. I am not ashamed of the power of the gospel. What is it that causes the gospel to be God's power, God's fireworks in the lives of people today? Let me share some things out of that brief verse that we read together a few moments ago that are so important to you and me. The gospel is the power of God because the gospel gives us boldness. Paul wrote and he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Not ashamed. More than not ashamed, I am eager to be identified with. If you look at me, I want you to think about the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Paul's testimony. I will never be embarrassed. I will never be afraid to be associated with the power of God. When we know who we are in Christ, we are ready to take our stand with boldness and say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel." As Americans this year, we must always be ready to say, "I am not ashamed to be identified with the red, white, and blue. I stand with pride in the nation in which I am allowed to live and serve the Lord." We are called to be unafraid to declare our patriotism. I think that's why you responded so to the song that Scott sang to us just a few moments ago. You know, there are many people these days who are vocally bold to criticize and condemn our nation, to say that we are not who we used to be and not who we ought to be, and we ought to be embarrassed about who we are as a nation. I even heard earlier this week that the vice mayor of the city of Paris, France, is blaming the heat wave in Europe upon America. It's your fault that we're struggling with the heat. Some people feel that they have to apologize for who they are and what we believe as a people. And that is why the time has come for us to declare, I am not ashamed. As we celebrated our birthday yesterday, we heard America boldly say, I am not ashamed. Even as we have been watching the World Cup matches and Americans are gathering around a sport that we don't understand. But we shout and we yell. Why? Because it gives us a chance to say, we are not ashamed of who we are as a people. Whenever we see the flag flying, we remember we are blessed to live in a land of liberty and opportunity. And we're grateful to have a chance to speak our convictions and to practice our faith freely. But never forget how precious that right is that men and women have laid down their lives to purchase and protect our freedom. What am I saying? I am not ashamed of America. And just as clearly, I am not ashamed of the cross. I am not ashamed to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to embrace His word and allow it to guide my life. When we see the cross, we remember anew what we should never forget. The ultimate price was paid so that we can be free. Free for today and free for all eternity. I am not ashamed of the cross. The cross does things in our lives that nothing else can do. The cross uncovers our sin. It reveals it for what it is, not so that God can rub our nose in our own failures and our own sinfulness, but so that we can discover this is where God wants to make us free again. It uncovers our sin so it can be confessed and that can be dealt with, because the cross also reveals God's grace. God's grace that reaches down to sinful people like you and me and makes us free in Christ Jesus. The cross declares Christ's saving sacrifice. When you look at the flag, you think about our nation and what it stands for and the price that people have paid. But when you look at the cross, you recognize there is the one. The one who paid the price, the one who made the sacrifice, the one who makes all of the difference in the world and in all of eternity. And on this day, we boldly declare, I am not ashamed of the gospel. It has set me free from death, hell, and the grave. I am not ashamed to say, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His calling on our lives. The gospel gives us the boldness to say, I am not ashamed. But more than that, the gospel also empowers us. Paul continues on and he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. You know, this morning when you think about all of the fireworks displays that took place across America, whether it was in your backyard or whether it was in the cities of New York, the streets of New York, you recognize the same thing is going to be going on today. It's already happening. What's happening? People are cleaning up behind the fireworks. People are picking up all of the residue that's left behind whenever something like that happens. And all over the place, those fireworks shows are being cleaned up behind. They were huge demonstrations of light and sound and power. But here's the thing that all of those fireworks shows have in common. This morning, their power is a thing of the past. Whatever power they had the potential to display, it lit up the sky in a single moment. And then it was done. The power was depleted. It's never coming back. Here's the thing. God's power, God's dunamis, is not a passing display of power. You cannot say the gospel revealed itself once and for all and then that was it, and it's never had any impact from that day forward. Paul would remind us that the saving power that was unleashed once and for all on the cross is power that continues to be revealed today, because once unleashed, it has only grown stronger and deeper. It has only touched another life and another life and another life and another culture and another civilization and another nation, and it has only continued to grow as time has gone by. It's not the power of a moment. It is a power that transforms eternity. Paul says the gospel has a single purpose. It is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power of God that changes lives for all of eternity. Most of the time when we think about dunamis, when we think about the power that is revealed by an explosion, you think, well, that's the power to tear down. That's the power to destroy. But the Bible tells us true power is not the power to tear down. It is the power to build up. It is not the power to take life. It is the power to grant everlasting life. That is true power. The gospel declares real power is the ability to transform death into life. The gospel reminds us that we were lost in our trespasses and our sins. We were doomed without God and without hope in this world. And then Jesus. Has there ever been a more powerful phrase than that? And then Jesus. I was lost, and then Jesus. I was without hope, and then Jesus. My guilt separated me from God, and then Jesus. My life had no power, no hope, no eternity. And then Jesus changed everything. Because the power of the cross changes everything. The gospel reveals that God's power gives life, life abundantly, and life for all of eternity. But Paul's still not finished with the power of God. And he goes on and he says this, and the gospel invites us. It is for the Jew first and also for the Greek. What is Paul saying? He's saying the gospel of Jesus Christ reaches out to the world. For a long time, people believed that God's love was confined to a chosen few. Just that nation that he set apart so long ago and rescued from Egypt and formed into a people, and they thought, we're it, we're the only ones God loves. The rest of the world can go to hell in a handbasket because God doesn't care. He only cares for a few. You had to be the best of the best for the Lord to care about you. You had to be born among the right people, follow the right rules, conform to all of those regulations to even have a chance. But then came the gospel. And Romans 1:16 tells us the power of the gospel is the cross, that the cross extends its power to the world. One of my favorite terms in all of the Bible is a very simple word. Whosoever. Whosoever. The gospel is not limited. There are no boundaries around the gospel. There are not people who are excluded from the gospel. Whosoever means everybody is invited. Whosoever means nobody is excluded. The good news of the gospel is that the power of the cross casts its shadow across the world. You know, that conviction is what it means when we call ourselves Southern Baptists. When you ask, what does it mean to be a Southern Baptist? What does it mean to worship in a Southern Baptist church? What does it mean to be a member of a Southern Baptist congregation? What it means is not that we answer to the same particular group of leaders. We're not united by a structure of some particular point. You know what unites us together as Southern Baptists? A conviction that the world needs to know Jesus. And we have a missional call to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth. What binds us together as Southern Baptists is our missional call to carry the gospel where people have not heard that Jesus saves. You know, when our group that went to Greece a few weeks ago was following Paul's footsteps across that land, one of the realities that I kept thinking about as we climbed mountain hillsides together, as we visited ancient cities, as we boarded ships and explored islands and walked along the same Roman road that Paul's sandals had touched, one of the things I kept thinking about again and again and again was all the ways that God used Paul to say to a lost world, you are included, and you are included, and you are included. As we followed Paul, who heard that Macedonian call and carried the gospel into a whole new world, to recognize that wherever he went, he had the privilege of saying, Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus died for you. So many people responded to the gospel, became a part of the people of God, and the gospel continued to spread as it went around the world and continues to touch unreached places even today. The gospel includes. But here's what we need to know. Everyone can be included, but nobody is automatically included. A lot of people assume that almost everybody's going to heaven. But that's not what the gospel says. What does it say? Romans 1:16 says, it is for everyone who believes. Everyone who places their trust and hope for this life and eternity to come in Christ Jesus. Everyone who believes. Salvation is and always will be dependent upon your personal trust in Jesus. Repenting of your sins, turning to Christ in faith, trusting Him to do what only He can do, give you everlasting life. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And this morning we remember again that experiencing the power of the gospel will always be an individual experience, a personal decision, a willingness to trust Christ for this world and for all of eternity. So I guess I have to ask this morning, what about you? Have you made that personal decision to trust Jesus, to depend upon the power of God to make people whole again? The power of God to deal with sin, the power of God to bring salvation, the power of God to transform lives and eternity. Have you trusted Him for yourself? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is a power of God for everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. First to you and then to me. First to me and then to you. All it takes is trust. Maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe there's never been that time when you ask him to forgive you of your sins and to become your personal Savior. Maybe today you need to make that decision to trust in Christ. In a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our invitation hymn. It's your opportunity to come to know Jesus. I'm going to be right here. If you need to trust him, you come. It'd be my privilege to introduce you to Jesus. Or maybe he wants you to be part of this fellowship. Or maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand, we're going to sing. As God speaks to your heart, you come. Let's stand together.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail.
It's been good to share this time together in God's house. What a wonderful time we've had worshiping. Let me remind you again, now this evening we won't be doing evening worship services because of the 4th of July weekend, but we look forward to seeing you again very soon. Let's bow together in prayer, one final prayer, and then a closing hymn. Father, we want to pray. Lord, we thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that it reached people like me and each of us. As we came to that point where we knew we needed to make a personal decision for Christ, Lord, help us to believe that it is a power of gospel that changes lives forever. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will.